Welcome to Local Matters. I am Louis Matheny, and I am in the studio with Frida Gaw, somebody that a lot of locals know as being the owner of what is called the Cookeville Boat Dock, which has been an amazing destination for years and years, historically speaking, something that the locals love and people out of town go to visit. But among the many talents you have, it's not just running a boat dock, you and your children, correct? That's who's involved in that. Yeah. And we're sort of out of season, but we're hoping to have Frida back in at some point when we get closer to spring to talk about the boat dock and what's going on there. But today I really want to talk to Frida about the Lazy G Ranch, which is something kind of amazing for, again, locals and people from out of town who happen to get out on this stretch of country highway called the Dodson Branch Road, and you go over a few hills and around a few curves, and suddenly in front of you, there it is. And that's sort of the reaction you get from a lot of people that come to visit it, right?
Yes. The farm is an amazing place. And it was, it is evolving into more of a destination place than it used to be because of the bison. The American buffalo roam there at the farm, and we're up to about 130 in number now with the bison. And that sort of all grew with my marriage to my husband now, Eddie Gall. And he is a Old West fan, fanatic. I think he probably was could have been born in the Old West and been a happy man, but the bison is he was drawn to them because of their significance in the Old West, and it's kind of become a love of mine. So he has his business, I have mine, but together I feel like we have the buffalo.
You know, you really are helping keep alive something that you just mentioned a second ago where the buffalo roam. That's the old home on the range. And you have this home on the range where the buffalo roam, as the song goes. So you're living the song out in a way.
You know? I mean, I get up with my coffee every morning and go to my table at the front window, and I live the dream of give me a home where the buffalo roam because it's amazing and it's such a blessing.
That's the thing that I'm noticing is that I was always aware of the property and the big expansive fences, but suddenly these bison appeared at about how many years ago?
About 10 years ago when we were first married. We went to South Dakota to Custer Park, which has a buffalo herd that is about 5% in the to be one of the purest herds. Only ahead of it is Yellowstone. And so we went to this park because they have a roundup every year, and they sell bison. They'll sell yearlings, bred heifers, and big bulls and small bulls. And it was like, it was amazing. The whole event was amazing. They did it in an Old West style. I mean, they ran them out there in front of us, and they ran around, and the dust was flying, and all the cowboys had all their hats on and everything, and it was kind of a back-in-time moment. But in the 10 years that we've been going there, they have evolved to video sales, but we can go and see the herd and walk around and pick out the ones we like the looks of, and then those might be the ones we would bid on. But now it's all air-conditioned and a big screen and heated. I've never been so cold in my life as I was there one day during a sale, and it was so cold, and the wind was blowing, and it was terrible. I wanted to look cool and wear my cowboy hat, but I got out that knit hat with a ball on top and pulled down over my ears before I was out of there. But it's really neat to meet those people. The people in the bison industry are a real special group of people. And they've all pretty much got into it for the same thing. They want to see those numbers big.
Right.
And they have a goal of 2025 to see 1 million bison roaming on the earth, which that includes Canada and us. And they're hoping that that will come to pass. So the way to grow the herd is to grow the demand for people that want to eat the meat and want to raise bison, because it's a little more profitable than cattle, but it's a little more, it's maybe a little more trouble than cattle. It's easy in some ways because you can, you don't, they're not a hands-on animal because they're wild. So you can't help them calve, and you don't micromanage them so much. They're just kind of there, and they're roaming and doing their thing. But we do sell meat at the farm, and we love, I don't know, they're just, we love sharing them with people.
Yeah. No, so you do, and it's great to we have that in this community. It's one of the only spots I know of within driving distance to the town that something like this exists at all, and it's your love of it. It's the love of the people out west, all of that, that keeps it going. I have to ask you, I'm going to back up a second, and I'm wondering, when you first got involved in this, this was your husband's love first and his interest. Did you see this as sort of a midlife crisis that you go, oh, no, you know, it's like the sports car. I'm right. In the studio with Frida Gaw, who I'm pinning on a couple of questions that maybe are too personal. But
no,
tell me.
No, it's not at all, because he's always had one or two around his cattle.
I see.
He bought the first blonde or white one that we have, he bought at an exotic sale. And it's, you know, any bison that is white and that doesn't have pink eyes and pink skin are not a true albino bison. There's got to be some Charolais white cattle maybe in their background somewhere. But this one in particular was a really good-looking animal. So we have bred him with other brown bison, and they have had some white calves, so it's really interesting. But yeah, it's just kind of part of it, and that's why people like to come, because they've never seen that before. And we've had a lot of Indians come to the farm,
yeah,
and they talk to them in their native language, and they pray, and they, you know, they're all into them, even sure. though they're not an albino. That is very rare. An albino bison is like the lottery.
I've never heard of one until you mentioned it today. You know,
that's
I'd love a tour at some point. I'd drive by.
You're going to have to come.
You know, you're talking about it being a destination place, and I have so many people that come in from out of town. It actually is part of what I give is in the way of a tour of the local area. There, of course, are beautiful waterfalls. There's a lot of great expansive drives that give you great vistas, but nothing quite like that when you come over that hill and see that ahead of you. It's sort of like an oasis. And for just a moment, it doesn't seem real until you get right up close to it. And then you and I had talked ahead of time. The one word that stuck with me that you talked about was majestic.
Majestic.
How majestic they are, how majestic the herd is, how majestic the ranch is itself. And that does seem to be a perfect word for it.
Yes, I agree. And when you stand on the ground in front of them at the fence, we have what we call our misfit herd right in front of our house. And the Custer herd will be over, if you're standing in our driveway, would be kind of over to the left-hand side. It's the big field. But the misfit herd, you can stand there and feed them, and they'll come right up and eat right out of your hand. And you're one-on-one and looking them right in the eye. And the people that experience that, they say they go away changed.
I could see why. Yeah. Yeah. It has to be something amazing to experience. And you were talking about Native Americans coming, and it's sort of natural for them to be communing with them. And they have their own rituals that are a part of their culture that goes back thousands of years. But for many people, it's just an of the moment thing. There must be sort of a magic that happens when they're there for the first time.
Well, I don't even think we've talked about this before, but one time we had a lady that was Lakota, and she came to the farm, and she asked about going out to look at the bison, and so I put her in the Kawasaki mule, and I carried her out where the big field was, and she asked me if she could sing to them, and I said, sure, if you want to sing, you know, to them, that's fine. And we had fed them, and they had all gathered around, and they were all just kind of standing around. And she walked out, and she held up her arms, and she started singing in Lakota. And every one of those bison that were standing there laid down. And the hair on my arm stands up when I tell this story. Because it was an amazing moment, and obviously she touched them.
I'm having the same experience right now. I'm getting chills as you say this.
So it was an amazing moment, and I would hope she would come back, and I told her come back anytime, but I've never seen her.
Have you rehearsed the song, and do you sing it now?
maybe I would have understood it if I spoke Lakota.
You could get sort of a little stage performance going where you
I could sing a song. Maybe get
I need to get a
copy of some of their songs for the buffalo.
So,
but
yeah.
She talked to their heart. Those animals responded by laying down, and it was a moment for sure.
And they weigh an extraordinary amount of weight, right? What's the average weight of a bison?
A female bison's probably around 1,600 to 1,800 when they're grown.
1,600 to 1,800 pounds.
And that's
and
the girls.
And she got a collective group of 1,600 to 1,800 pound bison to all lay down.
Yes.
That is extraordinary.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the bulls anywhere from 2,000 to 22, 24. We've never had one that was 24, but
right.
We've had some 2,000 pound boys more than once.
We are in the studio with Frieda Gaw talking about the Lazy G Ranch, and we have so much more to talk about and listen to. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.